So I have been gone. I apologize to you guys. Wasn't here last week, but Pastor Jen did an amazing job preaching a message about prayer. And we are actually in a series called Supernatural Fruit and Multiplication. And so I'm going to pick that series back up. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. But if I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge one of our original founders who's tried to slip in through the back over there. And he didn't got so skinny, can't nobody find him. You just kind of trying to be a ghost right now? Because you know I ain't going to let you slip by. Come on up, Aaron. This is Aaron Otten. He's one of our original founders of this church 20 years ago, partnered with us. It's good to see you. Got anything you want to say?
You're so skinny, no, man. You dropped so much weight.
I know. It's just good to be back. Yeah, so I live 60 miles away, so sometimes it's a little difficult getting back to San Jose, but I always love coming back home.
Yeah. All right. Well, good to see you. Good to see you. Amen. We got a couple other Midnight Basketball folks. Our old school. Is that JJ? What's up, JJ? I'm not good with names, but sometimes I remember. So those of you who don't know, today after our service, we're having our pastor's breakfast, and we're going to tell you a little bit more about the history of our church. But our church started because we had a program that outreached in the community called Midnight Basketball. That program started 24 years ago, but through that, we kept seeing young people getting saved in the back of a gym. We were throwing out a basketball, but we were teaching them life skills and teaching them about Jesus. And we saw them getting saved but weren't going to church. And so my husband at the time decided he wanted to start a new thing. And so we started this church called Rohi Christian Church. And Aaron Otten was one of our founding members. He was here with us, and we had a few others. But now you guys are the fruit of 20 years of hard labor. So good to see you guys all here. Amen. And just for a real quick history lesson, anybody remember Hoop It Up in San Jose? She was like, yeah, that was fun. Yeah, well, because our church was made up of all basketball players, when Hoop It Up came on that weekend, we had like two people in church, me and Jeff. And so we're excited because our church has grown and we're no longer just a church full of basketball players. Although we do have a lot of basketball players, we are a family church. We do see families coming, which is nice. Now we have baseball players and soccer players and people who just play. Amen. All right, you got your Bibles, Genesis 1:28. Today I want to talk to you about opposition to supernatural fruit and multiplication. Opposition to supernatural fruit and multiplication. We're going to be talking to you about what's coming against you that's keeping you from producing the fruit that you so desire in your life and from seeing this supernatural work. So Genesis 1:28, if you found it, would you do me a favor, stand out of reverence for God, for the word, and we're going to read just this one verse. This is God's first commandment to people. And for those of you who do not know, we are live streaming. Right now we're on Facebook Live on our Rohi Christian Church page. So like Aaron, you're not here. You're not able to get here every week. You can actually log on to Facebook, click on the Rohi Christian Church page. You'll be able to see us live. We are actually probably in the next week or two going to be switching that over to a link where you don't have to be on Facebook. You can get it from anywhere and you can join in on the service because I know that y'all are busy. You know, at one time we used to fight it. Like, just come to church. Forget your kids. Forget that. Come to church. We really realize that's not realistic. So what we want to do is give you a way to stay connected even if you're not here. But I want to tell you, being here is way better than live streaming because there's something about the energy and atmosphere. So if you can be here, come. But if for some reason you're not able to be here, check us out on the live stream. We'll be sending you guys out an email when we get the link available so everybody knows how to find us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Amen? Y'all excited about that? Come on, church. Hey, we doing it. Okay, anyway, Genesis 1:28. If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, lift them high in the air. We're going to be saying this together. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words are on the screen. We want to make it easy so that we all say the same thing. Ready? Let's say our Bible affirmation. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. Genesis 1:28, just this one verse. You ready? Let's read together. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this message. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to your people, that you would help us to understand why opposition comes, and then give us the strength to overcome it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, turn to your neighbor and say, don't be scared when opposition comes. Now, I want you to say it with an attitude to the other person in your hood voice. Don't be scared when opposition comes. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. That's the title of my message today. Don't be scared when opposition comes. So we are in this series, and just to recap, because we took a week off, I have tried to convince you over and over again that it is God's will and purpose for you to be fruitful and to multiply. We said in Genesis 1, the very first thing that God spoke to people, to any person that he created, was, look, go be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth and have dominion. That has not changed. God's plan for us has not changed. God's desire for us has not changed. The other thing that we looked at is I showed you from Genesis all the way throughout scripture in our last text as much as I could about what supernatural fruitfulness looks like and how God designs it. We talked about Deuteronomy 28 that says, God says, I want to bless you and I want to multiply you. I want to bless you so that you'll be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I want to bless you when you come in and bless you when you go out. Come on, anybody getting excited about this? I get excited when I think about this. All these blessings shall overtake you and overcome you. I want to bless your storehouses. I want to bless the fruit of your womb. That's your children. And I want to bless your everything that you have, that you put your hands to. It even tells you your enemies are going to come at you in one way, but they're going to flee at you in seven. Look, God wants you to be supernaturally fruitful, and he wants you to have supernatural multiplication happening in your life. God is an investor. Just like we have people who invest in stocks and bonds and all that other stuff, God invests in people. And what he expects is to get a return on what he's put inside of you. Come on, somebody. God is a God that's like, look, I've given you gifts and I've given you talents and I've given you abilities, and I expect you to do something with them, to multiply them, to grow them, to bless somebody else, to expand my kingdom. And if we are not seeing that happen, then we must understand that we are not being fruitful and we are not multiplying. Let's go to John chapter 15, because I want to show you some things today, because some of us don't understand what happens to us and why we struggle for this. Part of our problem is that we want, how many of y'all want to be supernaturally, that supernatural means like it's just like crazy fruit coming out of you. Like resources are coming out of you, jobs, businesses, you blessing other people, people getting saved. How many of y'all like, I want that kind of supernatural fruitfulness? Now, if you ain't got your hand up, you lying. Because all of you know you want to do better. How many of y'all want to do better? All right, here we go. Then have you ever asked yourself the question, why am I not seeing it? What's the problem? Now, I want to tell you there are a lot of things that I could talk about, but today I want to talk about the one that I think is messing with the church the most, and that's the opposition. But I want to show you why this is important. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus starts talking to us about what it looks like to be supernaturally fruitful. And he explains the process of bearing fruit. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So let me stop right there. If you're not doing anything, if nothing is getting better because you showed up in any area of your life, you better start shaking in your boots. Because the Bible says, if you're not bearing fruit, God is like, let me just remove that. So start asking yourself the question, am I making things around me better? Are people getting closer to God because of me? Are people having a better attitude because I showed up at work? Is my company producing more money because I'm there? Is my family better because I'm here? If you can't say yes to that, then you ought to start getting a little afraid and say, I got to make some changes today. Because the Bible says that if you do not bear fruit, God takes it away. Why? Because God can't stand having someone who is not doing anything with the gifts and talents he's given them. You don't believe me? Don't turn there, but there's a parable of the talents where God gave one man five talents, another man two, and another one. The one with the five went and produced five more. And he said, ooh, well done, good and faithful servant. The one with the two went back and produced two more. Well done, good and faithful servant. The one with the one went and hid the talent and did nothing with it. And God called him a wicked and lazy servant. And he took the one and gave it to the guy with the ten. God is saying, if you don't start producing fruit, if you don't start using the gifts and talents and the resources that I've given you, I'm going to start snatching that stuff away. Some of y'all, you got stuff leaving your life and you think it's the enemy. It ain't the enemy. It's the fact that you've done nothing with what God gave you. You don't want me to preach this, do you? Because this is painful. Okay, I'm going to move on because that's really not what I want to talk about today. Verse 2, it says in John 15, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But listen to this. Every branch that bears fruit, let's say you got a little something happening in your life, little positive things going on in every area. You're doing a little bit of something. The Bible says he prunes that so that it can bear more fruit. To prune means he's taking some stuff off. So some of y'all are confused. You're like, he taking away from me if I ain't producing, and he taking away from me if I am producing. Come on, God, I'm confused. But God says, if you get it, when I prune you, I do it so that you can bear more fruit. Have you ever wondered that the hell you going through might just be because you need to bear more fruit? Some of us get to a point where God is like, I'm trying to take you to another level. And you know what we do? I don't want to go. That's too hard. That's going to take too much work. I don't have time for that. Oh, God, I really don't want to work on this right now. And you know what God is saying? God is saying, you got a choice. Either you're going to let me prune you and work some stuff out in you and stretch you and make it hard. Some of y'all marriages are being pruned and you don't even understand why. You're like, we've been good for like 6 or 7 years. What the heck is happening right now? It's a pruning season. Because God is like, you've been good, but I want to make you great. Oh. I think some of us get caught up in good and like good is good. But God is like, good ain't great. And I never called you to just be good. I called you to be great. Uh-oh, y'all not hearing this. Y'all seen them commercials that say it's okay to be okay? You know, those ones where they just kind of say, you know, well, like some lady went in for her taxes to be done. He's like, it'll be okay. We'll just do an okay job with your taxes. After I'm done with my audit, we'll take. She was like, what? Okay is not good enough. Some of us are living where okay is just enough for me. An okay relationship with my spouse. An okay relationship with my children, an okay relationship or an okay job, an okay. We're like, okay is enough. And God is like, stop that. You are my child. My children ought to be doing exceedingly and abundantly above all that they could ask, think, hope, or imagine. They need to be the stars that are shining in their corporations. They need to be the ones who are building businesses that are changing communities. They need to be the ones that are standing out on the baseball field and the football field and the basketball field and the soccer field. My children ought to be the stars. Why? Because when you become a star, people look at you and they say, oh my gosh, how did you do that? And if you get this right, you'll open your mouth and you'll say, it is only because of the grace of God. And God gets the glory. And God goes, yes, 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 yes. Now we're starting to produce some fruit. Because everybody wants to mimic the one who's excellent. Everyone who's excellent, we all trying to figure out, how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I get that? All those who are producing supernatural fruit, you're like, how can I do? That's the reason why people making money as online coaches. You know why? Because everybody want to know how you do it. That's the main question. How you do that? How you do that? And here's the thing. Believers ought to be the ones that people are looking at going, how did you do that? How'd you raise kids that are so respectful and honorable and who love God and who are doing great in school and who are excelling in everything they do? And I just stand and we can all say, because it's the grace of God. That's why God wants you to be supernaturally fruitful, because he's trying to expand his kingdom. But you go through opposition. And when the pruning happens, you don't like it. Don't sit here and act like you like when bad stuff come up and when difficult things happen. You don't like that mess. You know why you don't like it? Because it don't feel good. No. Oh, Pastor, it feels good. Stop lying. You don't feel good. I look back over my life and I think back on how I got over and I praise him. No, because when you in it, you can't look back over your life and think about how you got over. You looking at your life right now going, how the heck I get in this? Come on, somebody. But I'm going to show you today why you're having opposition, because if you can understand the why, maybe you can press forward to get to what God's trying to do out of the times of opposition coming. Watch this. Matthew 16, 18. This is not a new principle. So one, God, Jesus says that I'm going to prune you. But here's another principle that comes that is a powerful one. Matthew 16, 18. Matthew 16, 18 says this. This is Jesus talking to Peter. And he says, and I say also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. That sounds so exciting. You know what, Peter? I'm going to build a church with you, man. Got something for you. I got a vision. How many of y'all God gave you a vision? You like, yeah. God gave you a promise. Yeah. God tell you he's going to do something good. Yeah. You like, oh, it's going down. But check the next line. He says, I, you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And, somebody say and. Watch out for the ands. And the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it. What that means is hell is coming knocking on your door. You ain't shout about that. I got a vision, I got a promise, I got a word from God. You shouting there, but you're not shouting on hell coming knocking on your door for that vision. God gives you a word that he's going to do something with your wife or your husband or your children or your business or your finances, and you're like, yes, but you don't understand that what's about to happen is hell is about to knock on your door. It's not supposed to be this thing where you just wake up and everything is easy. I don't know why people think Christianity means I wake up and then rose. Once I come to Jesus, I come to the altar, I say a prayer, and roses line up the altar. And I walk out, and my feet never touch the ground because God is such a good God, and everything's okay. Look here, when you come to Jesus, don't let nobody lie to you. You about to go through hell. Some of you like, I'm already going through hell. Why do I want more? Because this time when you go through hell, the Bible says hell will not have victory over you. Hell will not defeat you. Before you came to Jesus and you went through hell, there was no promise that you weren't going to make it out. But at least now that I'm with Jesus, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They're going to come knocking, but it ain't going to win. So you got to get excited when you start seeing hell happening. That means God is like, ooh, I'm doing a work because I'm trying to get more out of you. Okay. This even happened in the Old Testament. The best way I can show it is Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. I want you to see this. This is so powerful. Exodus 1, verse 7. The children of Israel, they had been in Egypt because Joseph, you know, had brought them there because of the famine, and they had been doing pretty well. And the Bible says, watch this, but the children of Israel, does this not sound like something God wants? Were fruitful and increased abundantly, and they multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to increase abundantly. He wants us to multiply. He wants us to grow exceedingly mighty. He wants us to fill the earth. He wants us to be running stuff. That was happening to the children of Israel. This is exactly what God wanted from Genesis 1:28. Some of y'all need to start praying this over your life. Lord, let me be fruitful. Help me to increase abundantly. Help me to multiply and grow me exceedingly mightily. That's a prayer, y'all. Just take it for yourself. Watch this. But then verse 8. Things are going pretty good in your life, huh? Pretty happy, huh? Verse 8. Now there arose a new king. Somebody who don't know you. Don't know your history. Don't know your lineage. Don't know what you've been through. You ever had a boss that just came in? And you like, I've been doing all this stuff all this time, and now you want to come in and change stuff? You don't even know. You brand new, not me. Right? Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Okay. All right. A new king comes up, and in verse 9, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. The new leader got scared because they were having such supernatural fruitfulness. Do you not know the Bible says that people are going to get scared of you when you start producing fruit and doing things supernaturally? When you start exceeding in the baseball world and on the soccer field and the basketball field, people start getting scared of you. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I don't want to face them. Oh, when you start doing well in your business, do you know other businesses get scared of you? When you start doing well on your job, this is the reason why haters start talking about you left and right. Oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing this. Why? Because they're scared that you are going to do more and take over what they got. He says, now, verse 10, come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. The new king said, we got to bring some trouble in their life just in case they start growing too much and we can't control them. Do you not know that the reason you are having the opposition in your life is because the enemy is shaking in his boots and he's scared you're going to start getting too big and too mighty. And he can't stop you. So all he's going to do is mess with you long enough for you to say, I don't want to do this no more. God, I'm tired. How many of you, you've seen God working in your life and then something happened? Anybody else had that happen? Something pop up, like somebody dies in your family, and you're like, oh, man, you know, that came out of nowhere. And then you shook. You can't focus. You can't get to doing what God called you to do. You off your game. You're not at the top. You're not doing the best. Why? Because your mind is on the fact that, man, what if that happens to me? What if I go down early? What if this? And all it is opposition coming against you to shake you. Why? Because God is like, I'm getting ready to take you to another level. I'm getting ready to do something mighty through you. I'm getting ready to move you into a place that you've never seen before. And you are sitting there scared now because something has happened that looks bad. And God says, don't you know I told you the enemy is going to come against you, but it shall not prevail. Get up and let's go. Victory is yours. The enemy is like, I am going to try to take you out while I can. Because if I don't take you out now, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Some of you can look back over your life and you can think about those difficult moments in your life, how hard it was. I look back over my life, and the most prominent thing that stands out, there are many, many things, but death has been one that stands out a lot because I feel like death of people who are close to you really shake your core for various reasons. And I think about, you know, my mother died 8 days after my oldest son was born. So I was fruitful and had a child, and then opposition came. And my children don't have grandparents. None of our grandparents were alive at the time. And those of you who were around know I ain't know nothing about no babies. There's a reason I don't babysit your children. Because we just grateful my two grew up. I'm not very good with babies. But most of the babies in this church don't even like me. It's so funny. When they get about 3 or 4, we cool. But they little, they can't stand me. And I'll be like, cool. I don't want to touch you or change your diaper. No way. You gotta know your lane and stay in it, people. You can't, you know, no need to over. Now, what's funny is the children, the babies in the church love my children. But they don't love me. I'm like, y'all know I birthed them. But, you know, it's tough. Anyway. I didn't know anything about raising a child. I didn't know anything about babies. I loved teenagers, and I hated babies. And here I had a baby during one of the most difficult times in my life. And I will say this to you. God grew me so much from that opposition. From I was sitting there, and I remember 3 weeks after my mom had died, we had midnight basketball, and I had to go back to work with midnight basketball with a little baby in my arms. And I remember sitting there saying to myself, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I kept showing up. And sometimes you got to just show up even when opposition comes. You're not going to know how you're going to get through it. You're not going to know what to do next. You're not going to know. You're not going to have some master grand scheme of how to work this and rock this. All you got to do is show up and say, God, here I am. Just do what you want to do. And I remember going in the back and teaching and having workshops and doing workshops to help girls deal with life experiences while I was sitting there crying every night because my mama was gone. And one girl came up to me and she said, you know, I don't know how you do it. I lost my mother 5 years ago to cancer and I'm still struggling. She said, it ain't even been a month yet. How are you here? See what I'm saying? When you go through, people start looking at you and say, how do you do that? And you know what I told her? I said, it's nothing but Jesus. Because truthfully, I was mad at God. Guess what, people? God's okay with you being mad at him. He can handle it. I also think about when this church started to grow and blossom. We were going through a period, things were going really well. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my husband passed away. It wasn't expected. It wasn't like he had been sick. It just happened. And out of that opposition, just the negativity, how many times people told me women can't pastor? You can't do that. I had a pastor of another church say, who's going to pastor your church now? I said, the Lord's called me to pastor. He said, I don't think that that's from God. I will work to help you find someone to come in. And I said, no, thank you. I mean, there was opposition. Now, mind you, this is going on. My boys were 2 and 5 at the time. Husband has passed away. We got a church. So that the church was our third baby. We got a church, got 2 kids, trying to figure out how to make it financially. Let me tell you, opposition was like, don't do anything else. What I need you to do, here's what Satan was saying. What I need you to do is go in a corner, ball yourself up, cry, and give up. And there were days, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. There are days when you just like, I just need a day where I'm in the bed with the covers on top. And I would have one of those days. But then somebody would run in and say, Mama, I'm hungry. Come on, somebody. My greatest gift during that time were the people who needed me the most, who made me get up and show up every day when I didn't want to show up. Look, I know opposition comes and it's hard. But I look back now, 11 years later, this church is the fruit, come on somebody, of what God has done. And I'm going to tell you, opposition came, but I want to kind of take a little bit of a turn because I want to tell you about what God has done just this year. Even though we had opposition 11 years ago. We have a vision, a mission, and a purpose. Our vision, mission, and purpose you'll see hanging on our walls out there. It's real change. Y'all know it? Try it again. 4 words. Real change, now go. And each one of those words have some valuable meaning for us. The word real means we want people to have an authentic connection with God. We want people to have an encounter with God. We want when you show up, this is the reason why we take so much time in worship. Y'all know that? I know some of y'all like, dang, they sing that same song. It's been like 15 minutes. We on the same song. It's because we sense in God's presence is there, and we want people to experience God's presence. And so we hang out where we think God might be so that you can have an encounter with God. Well, this year, we have done so much to have encounters with God, and we've seen over 160 people give their life to Jesus Christ or make a decision for Christ in 2019 through this church. You can clap. That's good. We saw 8 people get baptized last year. 9 people became members officially of the church. We had 63 new visitors throughout the year. For our church size, that's amazing. And we have a goal of retaining 25% of those new visitors. We retained 22% of them. So we almost reached our goal, but very close. We believe we want to see 1 in 4 visitors who come. We want them to stick around. Amen. So we had 63 new visitors. 14 of those stuck around. Our worship team. How many of y'all see the worship team expanding? Because that's all a part of your experience. Praise the Lord. Another part of your experience when you walk in is what's the building like? First of all, us having a building. Y'all don't know being at the YMCA, having to put chairs down in a room that's a workout room that's only seats about 25, 30 people, and we got chairs that we got to fold up and put down every week. Y'all don't know. You don't know what it was like going to Ocala Middle School every week and having to set out chairs and put them back up and set the sound system up and break it down and having people steal your speakers and put them in their car because they thought that's what you're supposed to do. Y'all, we done went through some stuff to get you here. Opposition comes, but look at where we are now. We got our own building that we get to use 24 hours a day, whenever we want to, however we want to. This was the first year. Now, I know we're talking about 2019, but I'm going to talk about 2020 for just a second. This is the first year we have been able to have corporate prayer consistently every single day for now 26 days straight. We couldn't do it before because we ain't had nowhere to meet. God is good. Opposition tried to stop us and say, no, you're not going to do this. You're not. Why? Because if opposition could have had us 11 years ago, you wouldn't be sitting here today. I'm trying to show you why opposition trying to take you and your family out. Because there's something God wants to do, and God's not done. We got new signs. How many of y'all like the new signage outside? Now you at least know where the building is. All y'all new people like new signs. Look, you roll up. It didn't say nothing on that building. No windows, no nothing. You was just hoping you found it. Come on. God is good. Just in December, we got that. All right, we got new lights, new LED lights for our sanctuary, which is great, and in our youth room. We got new audio equipment. How many of y'all think the sound has gotten better? Our team is amazing. Now, what's our vision in the real category when we talk about encountering God? This is the reason why we live streaming. Our vision is we want to go and share the gospel globally. And so we are live streaming, and people all over the world are going to get a chance to watch it. We have a warehouse back there with a half basketball court. We want to complete that warehouse this year so that our young people can have a fun and nice place to come in, and it becomes attractive to their friends. There's a pool table back there. We need to refresh our pool table and our ping pong tables and gaming systems. We want to do that this year. This year in February, we're starting an online Bible study. So although we have small groups, we're going to go and help people to encounter God that way. We're doing an online, let's see. Oh, you know what else we want to see happen in 2020? This is where y'all come in. So how many of y'all feel like you've been having opposition? Guess what? We want to see this church grow so that we can offer a second service in 2020. I don't even trip no more. I remember in December, those of you who were around in December, we had Christmas for San Jose coming up. I had such massive neck pain. Like it was hard for me to work because anytime I was on my computer, the pain would kick in. Anytime I moved, the pain was there. And then as soon as that stayed for about 4 weeks. And then as soon as that kind of started to subside, I got a cold. I ain't got a cold in years. Like, I don't get colds. That just don't happen to me because I'd be like, by his stripes, I'm healed. But I kept saying it, and I was still like, what is wrong with me, right? And then the Holy Spirit quickened me. He said, this is opposition, trying to get you to quit because God was getting ready to do something coming up in 2020. I'll explain that in just a second. But opposition comes. And so we are believing God that we're going to see a second service in 2020. We're believing God that we're going to reach over 200 people weekly who will be coming to this congregation every week, including our children, who will be walking through the doors. That's what we're believing God for. See, and some of y'all are like, how are we going to get to 200? Supernaturally? We just going to do what God say, and then people going to show up. Some of y'all are here just because we ain't even do no advertising to get y'all here. Y'all just showed up. That's supernatural. I don't know where JJ came from. Come on, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Supernatural fruit. Just supernatural stuff. I like messing with JJ. I always like messing with you, JJ. All right, our next one, real. What's our second word? change. We believe change happens in community. And so we are really into small groups. So last year, we had a lot of small groups kicking off. I love our small groups because they are not your traditional small groups. For instance, we like stuff like hiking. Our hiking small group was phenomenal. I think they saw over 40 people who joined that group throughout the year who went hiking and they spend time with the Lord. We had a healing small group. You know, and y'all are like, what's that mean? That means we taught people how you can receive healing and pray for healing for other people. Look, we believe in healing. Healing is supernatural fruit multiplication. So watch this. We want our people to be equipped so when you leave here and you go to work and somebody say, my family member has cancer, let me pray. And then they get healed from cancer and then they come back to you and say, ooh, your prayer worked. And you say, no, Jesus worked. Let me tell you about this God and help you to get to know him for yourself because you don't need me to pray all the time. What you need to do is get a relationship with him and then wherever you go, you'll start praying and people start getting healed too. So we believe in healing. We believe in the prophetic. And so we had a prophetic prayer class. We had small groups offered for our youth. We just started our youth small groups, youth groups back up on every other Friday night. We have a worship small group. We have our mature single women's small group. That's my group right there. That's for women 30 and up who are single. Y'all don't understand the challenges. We had a pre-marriage group that we offer for 5 weeks, and we believe strengthen couples as they prepare for marriage. We do our discipleship courses, Operation Solid Lives. We had 2 level 1 courses completed last year. I'm not sure exactly how many people were in it, but I see Barbara here. She was a part of that. How many of y'all completed OSL level 1 for the first time last year? Rachel, Dora Lees. Yep, Miss Barbara, good job. Let me tell y'all something. That's a 4-week boot camp. That ain't easy, is it, ladies? She was like, girl, bye. I remember week 2, Barbara was like, She was like, I'm not quite sure why I'm doing this. Week 4, she was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, because it's over, Barbara. So what is our vision for 2020? We're going to keep offering small groups, but we want more small group leaders. It has been on our leadership team. We've been doing small groups, but we want to empower those of you. If you have an area of an interest and you want to start a small group, let us know. We're taking interest for our summer small groups. Our spring ones are already set. But if you contact us now and say, hey, I have an idea. I don't know what I want to do. I want to try this. We want to work with you because we believe change happens in community. And your small group could be like, I remember we had a small group for playing video games. You can do whatever you want to do. I mean, for the most part, as long as Jesus is in the middle of it. So real change, what's the next one? Now means we serve in our church. And so we have a brand new structure that we've created this year called the Dream Team because serving on with our church is a dream and a blessing. Amen. So we've got a Dream Team with 7 new teams, our outreach team, our WOW team, which is coming in the building, the facilities, our first impressions, our worship team, small groups, family department. How many of y'all are brand new and you came recently and you had some really nice person meet you and give you a t-shirt and then they called you and checked on you? That's our new care and follow-up team, just started in December, and they're doing a great job. We're working on that. We hired another full-time staff person, so we haven't had another full-time staff person in a while, but we hired Pastor Jewel, who's now our executive director last year. We ordained 2 new people. Jewel got ordained as a pastor. Jonathan got ordained as a deacon last year. And what's our vision? Our vision is we want more volunteers. Why? Because we're going to have 200 people through here. Come on, somebody. We can't do what God's calling us to do if we don't have people serving them. So here's our catch, though. We want to see you serving in the areas where God has gifted you spiritually. Because we've done church where we were like, just serve because we need help. And you'd be back there with the babies about to slap a child. That's not your gift. We don't want you to serve where you're not gifted. So we have spiritual gift survey. That's actually, we're going to be talking about that in our pastor's breakfast. We want you to find out how God has gifted you, and we want to plug you in where your gifts are. And we have a whole structure now based on your spiritual gifts and your passions where we can plug you in to serve into this church. So that's a brand new thing. Now, finally, our goal, real change and our goal. This is where we shine in this church. And this is where I think the enemy really can't stand us and opposition kicks in with us. This church has been reaching out in the community now for 20 years. By the way, when I talk about the now, This is 20 years. In May, we're going to be having our 20-year anniversary and celebration. We've got a whole week we're planning. It's going to be great. We got a comedian we're going to bring in. We've got a jazz worship artist that's coming in. I'm trying to finalize Pastor Jerry Dearman, for those of y'all with OSL. He says he's coming. We're working out the details, but we're not quite sure. He'll be coming in. Pastor Cal, we're trying to get him to come back. We're going to have a whole week, and we're going to do a banquet. It's going to be a week where we celebrate what the Lord has done over these last 20 years. Amen. If you want to help with that, let me know. All right, our go. This is where this church shines brightly. For 20 years, we started out of an outreach ministry, out of Midnight Basketball. And this year, although we don't do Midnight Basketball anymore, we've been reaching out and ministering all over this community. Our worship team was at Facebook. They went to Facebook and actually did worship and impacted and broke some hard ground in Facebook. We went to Church on the Hill for the women's group. Our worship team did. One of our leaders went and preached at Temple del Juan in Spanish and had a Spanish service and had a Spanish sermon there. We were at Bible Way, Saratoga Federated. I got a chance to speak at Valley Christian to over 2,500 kids during their chapel. Our homeless outreach with Miss Ellie, they went out, gave out 600 bags this year, which was more than they did any other year. Y'all see clothes all over this place. I hope somebody come get them. But we had a clothing drive. here's the fun stuff. Easter, we had the largest Easter celebration we've ever had. We had 99 volunteers. And by the way, only about 30 of them were from our church. The remaining volunteers came from Valley Christian School and King's Academy, which was powerful. We reached over 1,734 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ at Easter. When you think about a church this size, you're not supposed to be able to do stuff like that. Come on, somebody. We had Christmas for San Jose. We had over 345 people at Christmas for San Jose. At Easter, 100 people got saved. At Christmas, 40 people got saved. Look, this church is doing its job reaching out. We didn't stop there. When we did our 21 days of fasting and prayer, remember I told you my neck was hurting and I was sick? I thought it was over Christmas for San Jose. And I was like, Christmas for San Jose came and gone, and I'm still feeling it. God, what's up? It was over the 21 days of prayer. 1,544 people from 66 different countries joined us for 21 days of prayer and fasting, and they're still with us in our Facebook group, and they're still praying together because they don't want to stop doing it. See, opposition said, you too sick, don't do this. Just give it up. But God is like, I got a move I'm trying to start through you. Come on, somebody. Is it not supernatural fruit? And then check this out. Over 1 million people saw an ad with our church's information on it to get them to sign up for our 21 days of prayers. What does that mean? Over 1 million people worldwide have at least heard of Rohi Christian Church. Y'all, that's weird. Like, they literally clicked. All right. And let's see. Oh, we had Kids Club this year. We go to Hollyoak Elementary School. We went there. We saw 43 young people give their life to Jesus Christ at Hollyoak Elementary School. We go there every Thursday and share the gospel. And then we expanded supernatural fruitfulness. We didn't just go and double. We didn't just triple. We quadrupled our outreach with Kids Club, and we now are in four schools, not just one school, but four schools total. We go to Hollyoak, Sheboygan Middle School, Quimby Middle School, and Leyva Middle School, and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ there. At Quimby last spring, we had 12 young people give their life to Jesus Christ there. What's our vision? Our vision is to, y'all gonna love this, missions. We gotta go. See those red dots? That's just the start. I believe that God's going to do something where he's calling us to go out globally. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like, but I know there's a go for us that's global, and we're not done. So if you're experiencing opposition, are y'all seeing why you're experiencing it? Not just that, I believe God's going to call us to plant a second church, a satellite campus somewhere, whether it be in the U.S. or whether it be worldwide. I believe God's going to raise us up to plant a second Rohi Christian Church somewhere in this world. And I also believe that God is planting a church in an online community where we get to minister to people and pastor and disciple people worldwide through online ministry. So I wanted you to know why opposition is coming after you. If you're a part of this church, it's about where we're going. It's not about where you at. It's about what God wants to do through you. If you're struggling financially, you know why you're struggling financially? Because God's trying to do something with your finances. God's trying to take you somewhere else. And what's interesting is in the midst of everything that we're doing, we had the worst month of giving ever in December. Worst month of giving ever. And then just to be totally transparent with you, we decided about a year ago to go and do this marriage retreat, and we couldn't get enough people to fill it up, and so the church is taking a loss on the marriage retreat. But I told the Lord, and me and the Lord talked, he said, all right, you might be taking a loss, but you're going to bless people in the meantime. That's why y'all getting a free dinner, a $10 dinner. We need to cover something. You know? That's why we asking y'all to do the $10 dinner, because we can't. We're going to lose the money anyway. But God said, you're not losing it. You're sowing it into my people. So it feels like right now, in the midst of all of this fruitfulness, in the midst of seeing these 1,500 people, that opposition is like, yeah, you can't do nothing. Don't try nothing new because you ain't got no money. You done take a loss. And the Lord is like, look here, am I not the God of your, who's your provider? Did I not tell you I'll provide all of your needs according to the riches and glory? Did I not tell you there is no lack in the kingdom of God? So I have to make a choice as the pastor. You have to make a choice. Either you're going to believe the lies of the enemy, or you're going to start believing what God has told you and keep fighting, because opposition is coming to oppose that supernatural fruitness. But if you keep pressing, come on, somebody, we're going to start seeing some stuff happening that's tremendous and miraculous in this church. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope y'all get this. Hope y'all see this. By the way, to mess with you even more, when the children of Israel, they started, God got ready to bring them out, their taskmasters got mad and made it even harder. He said, you know, you can't even, we're going to take away your straw to make bricks with. Go figure out how to make bricks. Why? Because their deliverance was coming. And it was close. Church, with everything in my being, I feel like we're right on the edge of supernatural breakthrough. And I'm not just talking about corporately. I'm talking about personally for you. And I'm telling you, I sense that 2020 is a year of fulfillment where promises God has said are going to come to pass are coming. But what you cannot do is you cannot give up. You cannot give in. You cannot quit. You cannot sit back and say, I'm done. Why? Because the enemy says, if you quit, I got you. But if you don't quit, there's nothing he can do to you. The gates of hell are coming. They knocking. But they shall not prevail. So today, I want to pray for those of you who've been feeling like opposition been kicking in. Maybe it's a mental opposition where you just feel like, I can't do this. You're struggling to believe in yourself. You're struggling to believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. I'm telling you, some of you young people, you've been believing God for God to bless you academically or to give you a scholarship or to give you a job or to release and give you a marriage or a partner. And you've been sitting back and you're like, it'll never happen for me. I want to tell you, we're canceling those words in the name of Jesus. And we're going to release something over you today that's going to help press you through supernaturally through this opposition. So if you're here today and that's you, I want you to come to the altar. I want to pray for you. I promise you I won't embarrass you. I won't make you say anything. I just want to pray for those of you that have been feeling this opposition. And we're going to pray that God breaks these yokes that are on you, breaks these barriers, breaks the mental ideas, the thoughts that the enemy is putting in your head. We're going to break some stuff this morning. Come on. If you're not at the altar, would you do me a favor and just begin to pray for the people that are here. Come on, let's tell me we preached a message that was needed today. Amen. Amen. Come on, everybody, lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person at this altar, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, and I declare that supernatural fruit and multiplication is coming. I declare, Father God, that you have called them to bear fruit and to multiply. I declare, Father God, that you have said that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall bear much fruit. I release much fruit through them. I declare in Jesus' name, opposition, Satan, I command you to cease in Jesus' name. I come against every attack that the enemy is doing in your life, and I tell him to cease and to stop. I come and say, your plans shall be no more in Jesus' name. And I release over us, Father God, a supernatural faith, a boldness, a confidence, a desire to go after the things that God has for us. I declare in Jesus' name that we shall be victorious. We shall have what God said we shall have. We shall do what God said we shall do. We shall become what God said we shall become. I declare by faith that this is a church of global world changers, that God, the gifts and the talents are not just for this community, but God, you are going to use them all over this world. I release on these people a supernatural freedom and breakthrough. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, by faith, just begin to praise God by faith. We praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised. We declare victory in this house. We declare victory over the opposition in the name of Jesus. We declare that we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who are filled with faith and keep walking by faith. We declare that we are faith walkers. We are faith movers. I declare that some of you have been in the boat too long, but God says it's time to step out of the boat and begin to walk on water. I release water walkers in this church. I hear the Lord saying, don't be scared to get out of the boat and try something this year. He says, even if you let your toes touch the water and you get scared, at least you got out a little bit further than you did the previous year. Even if you get out and your toes are walking for two steps and you drop, at least you did something you've never done before. I cancel the spirit of fear on you that tells you you cannot do something. I cancel the spirit of fear that's got you gripped and crippled, that's keeping you from doing and stepping out by faith the things that God has called you to do. I declare there are going to be businesses started. I declare there are going to be people in this church who are going to get married this year. They've been praying for God to do something. I declare there's going to be a supernatural turnaround in areas of sin that you've been fighting with and you don't know how to get out of. It's going to come out. God's going to change it. I declare there's going to be a supernatural release financially for some of you. I declare that God's releasing scholarships for our kids. I know some of our kids have been praying and waiting for God to move. I declare God's going to release those this year. I declare that relationships that were broken are being healed, mended, and restored supernaturally. Why? So that the world can see Jesus in us. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you're like, this is new, I just want to get to know this God better, I want you to stay at the altar. Our team, some of them are already up here. They'll stay. Just stay here when I dismiss everybody, and then they'll pray with you. If you're here today and you are saying, you know, I really want to be a part of this movement that God's doing in this church, I want to know more about what's happening here. I'm not quite sure about everything. I'm new. Stick around and join us at the pastor's prayer breakfast. We want to spend time with you. If you need prayer, I think we have a few people that are here that'll pray with you if you need prayer. But I just want to tell y'all, look here. You listen to me. With every fiber of my being as a pastor, I believe this is a year where God is releasing you into the promises and destinies that he's promised you. I believe by faith that I am pastoring a church of global world changers. We are not ordinary. We are not average. We are not like everybody else. We are supposed to be extraordinary people who are doing extraordinary things. I find it so interesting. I've been watching so many of our youth who are athletes in this church. They're phenomenal. They're not like your average athletes. They're not doing simple things. I declare that God is raising up these young people in their sports so that they will be the next Steph Currys who will give God glory. They'll be the next football players who are doing our Christian videos telling people about Jesus. They'll be our next baseball players who are lighting up the world but telling them that God is real and without God. I believe God's raising up our young people for such a time as this. Don't be scared to give him glory. Don't forget where you got your gifts and use your gifts for his kingdom building purposes.